Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. When I was in the first grade, our teacher began the first day of school by asking, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" We went around the room sharing with our class our first grade goals and ambitions. Now, I wanted to be a movie star, but I noticed that as the girls shared, they seemed to have a few options: teacher, nurse, secretary, mother, and no one veered from any of those options. I kept listening for someone who would choose a different path. I didn't care what, anything that maybe would give me the courage to share that I was different also. But when my turn came, that hadn't happened. I paused, I looked around the room, I took a deep breath, and I picked one of the options. I can't even remember which one I chose, but I do remember the disappointment. And I'm not sure if I was disappointed in myself or if I was disappointed that my options were so seemingly limited. When we went out to recess that day, I just could not hold it in any longer. I told all of my first grade friends, "When I grow up, I don't want to be a nurse or a teacher. I don't want to be any of the things that you all wanted to be. What I want to be is a movie star, not just somebody in TV or commercials. Like, I want to be a real actress." No one laughed. No one said that I couldn't. They just kind of all blank stared, nodded their heads, and went about the important business of recess. Now, God obviously had different plans for my life, for which I am very grateful. Anyone else relate to the Doug talk? Have you ever asked the question, "What does God want me to be?" Have you ever had conflicting messages about what that should be? Anyone else ever struggled to figure out your purpose or how God intends to use your story to bring him glory? Well, maybe our scripture passages for today will be helpful. We are currently using the Revised Common Lectionary passages. There are four passages assigned each week, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, a psalm, and an epistle or a letter from Paul. Churches can use those scriptures in any way that they want. I typically highlight each of the four but focus on one, and I do that because it's important to me to convey how scripture ties together from beginning to end. We get in trouble when we pick passages and use them out of context, and this is a helpful way to avoid doing that. We won't be studying scripture this way forever. It's just the way that I feel led to do it now. The New Testament passage is from Matthew 16, verses 21 through 28. It continues to include the stories about the disciple Peter. A couple of weeks ago, Peter had stepped out in faith onto the water to walk, and then he starts to sink, and then he reaches out to Jesus to be saved. Last week, Peter gives the right answer to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" Identifying Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus tells him, "Peter, you will be the rock upon which I build my church." This week, Jesus begins to show his disciples what it is he's going to go through, the suffering, the death, the resurrection. And Peter rebukes him and tells him, "This must never happen
which brings about a different response from Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Success, failure, getting it right, getting it wrong. This is the rock upon which the church is built. We have to remember that. Peter never gave up. His journey moved him from wanting to avoid all suffering to suffering and dying himself for his beliefs. He was faithful until the very end, not without fault or flaw or failure, but with trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior that not only pulled him out of the water, but provided for him salvation, which transformed him from the man he was, a man who was cowardly in his decisions, into the man that God created him to be, a bold, courageous man of faith. The Old Testament passage assigned for today is Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Just a little context to get everyone on the same page. We began in Genesis with the continuous stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, ending with Joseph, the dreamer, plotted against by his brothers, sold into slavery, but finding favor in Egypt. Each stories of God's promises and faithfulness to all generations, a God who watches over his people constantly, a God of reconciliation and restoration, a God who works on behalf of his people. Today we pick up in Exodus, and there's a new Pharaoh. He's forgotten all about Joseph, if he knew about him at all. His concern is that the Israelites who live in Egypt are growing in numbers and in strength. Last week, you learned of his plans to kill all the Hebrew baby boys, but Moses, by the grace of God, was spared and taken to the palace to be raised as royalty. We pick up today even further down the road. After allowing his anger over the harsh mistreatment of his people to get the best of him, Moses leaves Egypt and is caring for his father's sheep when an angel of the Lord appears to him through a burning bush. This story is known as the calling of Moses. God calls him to set his people free, something that Moses has already attempted to do on his own and failed. Moses isn't convinced, asking, well, who am I? And what would I say? As well as, who are you? What is your name? It's interesting that just a few weeks back, I referred to this story in a message, drawing attention to the fact that Jesus also introduces himself in the very same way that God introduces himself to Moses as, I am. The passage today states, God, I am, is my name forever. And this is my title for all generations. And that's significant because regardless of our calling, we often too feel unequipped, unable, unprepared, unqualified, and God's answer forever for all generations is, I am. I am equipped, I am able, I am prepared, I am qualified, and just like I guided Moses into his purpose of setting people free, I will also guide you always and forever. Worship opened today with a verse from Psalm 26:8. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, the place where your glory abides. I want to remind you again that you are that house, not this building, as is your neighbor. Those inside and outside these walls, God is with us. God is in us. We're not God, but God guides those who are willing to be guided. You know, I was writing the message this week, and a woman came into the office to ask if I would pray with her. She was heading into a really difficult situation. She didn't tell me exactly what that situation was or the details of what was happening, but I knew it was going to be a challenging one just by looking at her, by seeing her body language. She was very anxious and very upset. It was causing her a great deal of stress. I prayed with her for peace, for strength, for discernment, for wisdom. I prayed that God would remind her that not only was he with her, but he was within her. I reminded her that God hadn't given her a spirit of fear, but of power and of might and a sound mind. She left, and I sat back down to work on the message. All I had on the page at that time, according for this scripture, was Psalm 26:8. And I read that verse again. I love the house in which you dwell, the place where your glory abides. Our calling is to love those in whom God's Spirit dwells. What a blessing to remind someone, God is in you. There's a calling for all of us, for each and every one of us. We each have the privilege of being assigned that task. Our focus passage today, is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Please stand in body or in spirit as you are able, as we join together in reading the words from Holy Scripture. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, this is our calling. This is what we are supposed to grow up to be. Paul, at the end of his life, followed by years of experience building churches, teaching to multiple congregations, sufferings and trials, victories and defeats, says, love is what it's all about. Loving people in every situation and circumstance. Love is the supreme gift of the Holy Spirit. Not an emotion, but love, expressed in concrete caring actions for the benefit of others. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. You know, church is Bob and Brenda caring for Benny and Logan to celebrate their birthdays just like they would their own sons. Church is sitting out in the heat, distributing 1,000 snow cones to welcome students to OSU. Church is having coffee, not because you need caffeine, but just to catch up on the joys and the concerns of those with whom you worship. Church is spending your Saturday off working to benefit, make promises happen. Church is what Russ so brilliantly encouraged you to be a part of last week. And thank you, Russ, who I know is watching online. Church is people who look different from one another, all races, people who can't talk right, and are forgiven for it. You know what I'm saying, right? Or what I'm trying to say. Cultures coming together to form a new community where prejudices are overcome and care is extended to those of another language, theology, and understanding. Notice, I did not say where prejudices don't exist, where there's no difference in theology or understanding. I said where people can gather to overcome those prejudices. Those differences are done away with as relationships are established. Bless those who persecute you. You know, I thought about that a lot this week because I don't think I've ever really been persecuted to the extent that I read about in the Bible, and probably most of you haven't either. Hopefully you never will. I've heard some pretty incredible stories, however, of people who have offered forgiveness in situations and circumstances that many would find impossible. Amazing stories of grace and mercy. I've had to forgive people. I've had to let some things go, but none of those instances really compare with some of the experiences that I've heard about from others, with some that I've witnessed with you. I do have some wisdom I would like to share, however, and this is about not staying in an abusive situation. This scripture is not about allowing somebody to mistreat or to harm you for any reason. This is about showing people a better way. This is about being who you know in your heart you're supposed to be, even in the most difficult situations and circumstances. This is about doing everything that you can to live in peace and harmony with others. And when and if you are mistreated, protecting yourself and the Holy Spirit who resides within you. It's about not taking revenge, but trusting that God is just and right and will provide the perfect justice for all at the perfect time. You don't have to take things into your own hands. You can and you should leave it in God's hands. This passage is about taking care of everyone, not just family and friends and those who act and think like we do. This is about caring for the needs of all humanity, not because they've earned it, not because they've deserved it, but because it's that compassionate care that changes the world for the better. Our bitterness is not going to make others better. It's our love for even the most bitter of people that makes people and the world a better place. I'd like to share the message version of this passage along with just a few brief thoughts as I close. Love from the center of who you are and don't fake it. That's why we strive to be a Christ-centered church, so that we can grow Christ-centered individuals. Run for dear life from evil and hold on to dear life to good. Think about that a little bit this afternoon, all right? How often do we do the exact opposite? Running to evil and running away from good, especially when we're responding to evil, just sometimes makes us react in ways that we know we shouldn't. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. The world needs people who know how to be good friends, and we are way short on second fiddles. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. And here is how Scripture says you do that. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Now, contrary to the world's view, we fuel our souls not by serving ourselves or tending to our own needs, but by attending to the needs of others. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. If there weren't going to be hard times, times when we would feel like we were ready to give in or give up, then that encouragement wouldn't be offered. Guys, this is not easy work. These are not easy words. But it's work that's worth it in the end. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Inventive in hospitality. I absolutely love that. How can we invent ways of being more welcoming, of being a more hospitable place to gather? You know, Marie Miller took that job on this year and has done an excellent job. She's involved many of you in that process. How can we invent better ways of welcoming people, of offering even better hospitality? Should be an ongoing effort. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. That had to make me laugh just a little because I am absolutely certain, based on our recent conversations, there has been some cursing under your breath. Don't deny it. I know the new student drivers don't always bring out the best in us. But this is talking about something bigger than being frustrated with drivers who are on their phone or who don't know which way to turn or what the driving rules are. This is about real enemies. This is about the other. How do we bless the other? Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. That's the work of the church, guys. To be present in the lives of those who are celebrating, to be present in the lives of those who are mourning, to bring joy where there's already joy, to bring more joy, and to bring comfort where there's sorrow and mourning. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover the beauty in everyone. Guys, that takes time, effort, and intention. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. And can I just say, you don't have that in you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in us. That's why we surrender to ourselves and we allow the Spirit that resides in us to be our guide. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scripture tells us that if your enemy is hungry, go buy that person lunch. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. That's what that heaping coals on his head means, by the way. Not that you're going to condemn somebody by your actions, but, you know, guilt is one of the biggest, heaviest burdens to carry. And when somebody is guilted by your goodness, it can transform them into being a better person. Don't let evil get the best of you, but get the best of evil by doing good. My question for you today is, are you? Are you letting evil get the best of you, or are you overcoming evil with good? Now, I don't know about you, but I can relate to Peter. I've had my share of successes and failures. I step out in faith only to sink. When I get my eyes on the storm, I say the right thing in one breath and the wrong thing in another. Like Peter, I'm trusting Jesus for my salvation. I am reaching out my hand and placing it in his, not only to keep me from drowning, but to help me to become all it is that God created me to be. Like Moses, I too have lots of questions. Who am I? What do I say? Who is God? What is your name and what are the details of your personality? I am grateful that although I'm not able, equipped, or qualified, I belong to a place where I can connect to the great I am. I am grateful to be called, to be included in the story of God. I am grateful for the opportunity to tell you, to tell the world that you have a calling too. You have a place in God's story through you. God intends to help people step into the freedom that he has for them. Like Paul, I believe love is primary, but only if it's real and not pretend. The problem is, I can't always manage to love genuinely, wholeheartedly, at all times and all circumstances. I am reminded, however, this is God's story. The great I am, who is and will always help me, help you, help us to become all that God has created us to be. And that's what I want to end with, that question. Who might you become, guided by the Spirit of God who lives within you?